Well, welcome back, guys, to our YA podcast, where we're focusing on our sermon series, Lies We Believe and Stories We Tell. I'm excited because we are on week 3 of our podcast, and I'm joined today by 2 very special guests. I am here with Pastor Connor Johnson and Ben Bette.
Heyo.
Heyo.
I just imagined it being zoomed in on you and then zooming out to me and Ben doing whatever this motion was. To those only listening, I apologize.
This is a good time to mention that not only do you know Ben and his buttery vocal cords from our
buttery
YA
smooth
worship set, but these two work together in middle school ministry.
Heyo. Yes.
So I just love for you guys to introduce yourselves, maybe tell a little bit about what you do here at Calvary, and then the question of the day is my favorite. If you could have anything come out of your belly button.
Yeah.
I knew, command, praise God, what would it be?
It's something we often debate. I am caught sleepless at night considering.
I knew this would be it.
This one is much wider though, because I think our go-to is ice cream flavor out of the belly button.
So
this
one is like, wow.
Yeah, no, this is anything.
This is anything. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, what was the other question? We're stuck on the food out of the belly button.
Just your name and what you do here.
Okay. My name's Connor, and I'm the middle school pastor here. So I work with middle school ministry with Ben and Megan, Courtney, the whole squad. Back in the day, it was Sarah. We got hired at the same time, and then she ditched us for YA. She said,
"I graduated."
She's sick of the fart jokes, and she moved on.
That wasn't a lie.
Yeah, it's tough. Oh, and then belly button. What was the exact?
If you could have anything on command come out of your belly button, so you're in control of this, what would it be and why?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I just got to be selfish. The only thing that's coming to my mind is just money.
Oh, classic.
It's just going to be money.
I mean,
and I feel like I could just buy
whatever.
We're just revealing
your heart posture right now.
So. Here we are. Talking about my purpose is money. No, that's not good.
No.
Let's just go to Ben. Ben,
yeah, what do you think? Yeah.
Who are you?
Who are you,
Ben?
What do you do?
Who am I? Who am I?
Can I say the energy on this podcast is going to feel so different?
I love it.
You don't get the reference, go watch Les Mis.
Connor's favorite movie.
Connor's favorite movie.
My name is Ben Vette. I am the middle school worship leader. That's my official title here. So I'm not just a worship leader at YA. I work with the students, not just leading worship on Sundays, but training students during the week and just being with them. So it's a great time. It's very fun working with the team. But mine's more specific because I did think about it. It would be money, but it's the exact amount that I would need. So I'd never have money on me. I could never be robbed. I'd never have money on me. But just whenever like the cashier gives me the total amount, I'd be like, I'm very sorry for this, and then would just like pull out and be like, this is. You have like gloves or something in the bathroom.
I'm
so sorry, but I do have the exact change.
Sorry, the penny
is it
just
always
got...
is it ever cash or is it always just coins? Just so many quarters.
it's all nickels, unfortunately.
Oh gosh.
Well, I'm very tempted to ask whether you guys are in ears outies, but I'm gonna avoid that question.
Never mind.
Thanks, guys, for being with us today. We're going to continue on in a very light topic.
What a transition.
We brought you here today because we've been talking about lies that we tend to believe. And the truth of the lies, is oftentimes we just like believe things, and without them going unchecked, especially like in community, we can create these whole narratives of our lives and live them out. And luckily, you know, we've had some time, hopefully a little bit of maturity, friends, the word of God to help us deal with those things.
Yep.
But I'm excited to just hear you guys' this perspective. Part of the reason we have you, Connor, here is you'll be preaching in YA. So by the time you're listening to this, you have had the pleasure of hearing Pastor Connor preach.
Oh, this is a post-sermon podcast.
Whoa. This is going to drop Saturday after the sermon.
Cut that part out.
No, This is we're processing your sermon.
The lie I believed was that this was pre-sermon.
What we're trying to say, why is pretty shady? No, it's love it. But we're gonna talk today about the lie about purpose, the purpose of your life. So I'm just going to get straight to it. Connor, what is one lie that you believed about your life's purpose?
Okay, before I answer that, can I get a little philosophical for a second I've been thinking about this?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll go away from the goofy tone of voice. Let's swing to the end of the
pendulum.
Oh, now we're talking. No, okay, so kind of like Romans 12, 1 through 2 being the core like series verses, especially verse 2. Verse 1 has a lot of purpose language in it to what it looks like to worship God. But verse 2 talking about that we shouldn't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so as I've been thinking about that, because I've struggled to almost like figure out what almost not to say, because I just so many lies were coming.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was just like, oh, I believe this. I believe this. And then like, as I got to that next stage of like, okay, this is the lie I believe. This is the story I tell behind it. I started to get to the story and then I was like, oh, well, that leads to a different lie. And so I started to like have this list of like, I'm still right now trying to figure out what I'm going to bring to the table, if you will, on Thursday, next Thursday. But so all that being said, there's a lot, but I think also like that's the reality of all of these conversations is it's always going to be a lot, because it's like the lie I believed when I was 19 was different than when I was 21, then it's different than, you know, now. Yeah. And sometimes it's like a day by day thing. So I'll go with one of them, because that was your question and we can kind of move on from there. But, and I feel like looking at some of these other ones that I've written, this is like the all-encompassing
the mother
one.
Lie.
It's the mother lie.
Father lie. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to.
The mother lie was very good. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so if there is a lie I believe about my purpose, it's that I think simply just going to be that I'm not enough. I think that's what I've started to realize, like all these other angles lead towards like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not diligent enough. I'm not whatever. Like, it's just like not me, you know, somebody else, you know? And so I think that's the lie. And I'll pause there.
You'll unpack. Okay. No, thank you for sharing that. I think it's, we said this last week, but it's also interesting to hear people's lies, because it's usually very different than how you perceive someone. Like, I would not, like, for you, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've grown so much. Like, we've known each other since middle school, and I'm like, wow, you're killing it. But I think oftentimes the enemy goes for our weak spots that actually the Lord intends for strengths. So this is like, it's kind of beautiful to say them out loud, to be like, I see you differently. But I'm curious what you're going to say when you unpack it a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think also part of that is that, like, if that's the core of the issues of how I'm being conforming to the patterns of this world, of thinking of like my value and purpose not being enough, is like that then leads to like what I overcompensate so much into, you know, and that leads to like some of the stories I tell is like, I think for all of us, we're going to lead towards like, if that's the core of it.
We want to cover it up. We're like, no, we don't want people to see that we're not
enough. Totally, totally. And so it can feel like the last thing or whatever for maybe an individual.
That's a good word on that. Ben, I'm curious for yourself. What about you? What is a lie that you believe about your purpose?
Yeah, there's a few overarching ones that I had, like you said, just like trying to think through. But I think the biggest one for a very long time that I started to recently kind of like unpack with God and start to kind of like break down that lie was the lie that I have no purpose. That like there's just like this weird thing, like in my 20s, stepped away from my faith. And before then, a lot of my purpose was built on like the calling that God had placed on my life, like deciding at a young age, I wanted to be a pastor. Like I wanted to do worship and participate in all that stuff. And when I stepped away from my faith, just like didn't know what to do with myself, because I hadn't really set up my life. So that was just like stepping away from that and like losing that calling was just a lot of my 20s was just kind of like, I don't have a purpose. And that was the lie.
Dang. Thank you for sharing that. Again, something where I'm like, what? Like, I've known you in this stage of life, but I think that's really valuable. And I guess what I'm curious for each of you just to unpack next is what, like, how has that lie played out? Like, when it's like uninterrupted, unargued with, like, what has that looked like for you, whether internally or externally, when you're really like deep into believing that lie, what has that looked like in your life? And we could start with Connor.
Yeah. So when I think of like not being enough, I know this isn't the identity week, but like that's a part of it as well.
Yeah.
When I think of like my purpose, this lie believes I'm not enough, it leads me to like tell this story about myself of like anyone but me, you know, like, and like even just the insecurity of like doing a podcast is very funny to me. This morning I was like, why'd they ask me to do a podcast, even though like ironically I'm like, but I'm preaching, like, and I'm very comfortable I guess with that outlet, but even this morning I literally was just like, why me, like, that's so funny. I'm discovering this in the moment.
I love it. You're getting this live, guys, right now.
Like I was very much just like, I don't really, you know, I haven't finished writing my sermon, so I don't have anything to bring to the table. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say, what might actually be helpful.
Yeah.
So I think that leads to a lot. That's what that lie leads to a lot for me, is the story of just like anyone but me type of thought, or since I'm not enough, like find someone that is, you know, and obviously we'll get to scripture later and that's going to counteract that. But I think that's what it comes to. And then I think like a next layer to that then as well, and how it plays off the stories that I start to tell, is like, I'm not enough. And so like, because I'm not going to succeed, I'm not going to hit, you know, this purpose God has put on our lives as followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so because I can't, like, then I'm going to fill in the purpose like, with whatever I want. And I think for a lot of the thoughts I've started to have is like, my purpose then starts to become my comfort, you know? And then it's like this next layer of like, so then if my purpose is my own comfort and what's good for me, whatever makes me happy, then I start to believe lies about God. And I start to tell this story that's like, oh, the scriptures and God, he's just stealing joy.
Yeah.
You know, like, which is so counter to who
the core
of God's character is. But it's like, God is stealing my joy.
Yeah.
And so when I think of my purpose, how dare God ask me not to do this? This is what like brings me joy.
Right.
And so it's like this layer, you know, I'm not enough. And so then like, well, somebody else could do it. So then if somebody else is doing that, then I guess I'm just going to be comfy. You know, I'm going to be comfy and do what I want. And man, at the core of it, God's really just trying to take away something that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And then that leads to all sorts of avenues of sin.
Yeah, that's tough. Because I've also been on that end. But even sometimes, like when you're given responsibility or you're given an opportunity where someone kind of like tries to counteract that lie. I think for me personally, I've been on that end where like sometimes I try to overcompensate and burn myself out of just like, I need to work to keep up this facade of like, someone thinks I am enough and I don't believe it. So I'm just going to try to make the like people please almost to a certain point. And that's also like a dangerous kind of like other side of that coin. So I definitely feel it, but that is like a very tough thing. Cause then it just like, it does get in the way of how you view God and everything. It's just kind of like, it places the power on yourself almost to like try to like compensate and fix and like remedy that.
We fill the gap. We see the gap of, oh, I can't be that. And suddenly it's like, well, I'm going to just use everything I can to try to achieve it, which we're going to fail if it's just on our own efforts. And then suddenly it's like, well, God, why didn't you? And when really it's like, we didn't ask, or we didn't believe, or we didn't. But I like what you said, Connor, just the point of like, lies beget lies. Like when we don't examine them, suddenly we're like, oh my gosh, how did I get from I'm not fulfilling my purpose to, oh, well, God isn't good. Like that feels like a big leap. But when we keep them internalized, it's, you get there super easy. And I'm definitely the same way of like imposter syndrome, like okay, well, if I can't be that, then I'm either just gonna like hide behind pleasing others so they don't know that I actually can't do that myself.
And I think also, you know, we could use the word depression when like talking about a lot of these things, and I know that's part of my journey, but even outside of that, like the core of this lie is like, I'm not enough, and it's very like self-deprecating and very like, you know, like minimizing, but I think actually the result is like almost the stem of that is my pride, because like even as we're just talking about those things, like the core of the issue is like that the value is in me and in what I bring to the table, and like and my diligence and my
self-focused, no matter what, even if it's a negative self-focus, it's still like about you versus
totally God the pride of myself leads to actually this like, well, I'm not enough, and then it gets to the like in the deepest worst avenues of it, it's like, so then who cares?
Totally.
You know, and then like you said, the lies beget the lies. There's no holding back on anything anymore, and I just live my life however I want, all because of a pride and like an over self-reliance.
Totally. It's a slippery slope. What about you, Ben? How does that play out for you?
Having no purpose for me felt like I started to put it in my identity, like if I could just figure out what my identity is, then I could figure out my purpose. And so like obviously a big part of my life is music. And for a while I was like trying to make music work and like being a part of projects and bands that felt like they could have gone the distance and they didn't. And so like just like feeling like inadequate. There was even like a point where my sexual identity was something that I was just kind of like, all right, this is where I find my purpose. This is where, and like trying to live in that and trying to figure that out and ultimately coming up short, where I think that kind of snowballed into it stopped being like, I can't find purpose anywhere. So the purpose is to just survive the day. Like falling into like depression and anxiety. Like the purpose ended up just being like, because I have no purpose, I just need to figure out how to make it till tomorrow. And then tomorrow will be like, no, like not having any sort of idea of what my future was going to look like or what it could be, having like no goals to like work towards was just kind of like a, I just am now existing from day to day. And like, that's the purpose. And that was
exhausting.
Horrible.
Survival.
Terrible.
You're just surviving, which, you know, without God or an idea of like who we are, what we're made to be, it's just like, well, hope you make it out okay. But there's no direction. There's no why. There's no bottom line. And I've been there too. Depression's part of my story too. And that can be so intimidating when you're just like, whoa, my feelings are like leading me away from like any sense of like anchoring or framework that can actually help me through my day, where you're just like, well, I hope I make it to the end of the day. You know,
that also just like it sort of placed like envy and jealousy, like or just kind of like inadequacy, like when I was with friends that were killing it, like
totally
getting to like your late 20s and like having friends from high school, like getting married, starting to have kids, like a lot of them starting their careers, like some of them like didn't just graduate to college, like they finished, like they got their master's degree, undergrad, like doing all this stuff with their lives, and to just be like the guy, like the hometown hero that never left like his hometown after high school, just kind of like working a dead end job, hoping his band, like just like typical, like stereotypical, like deadbeat, like hometown hero, felt so bad. And like kind of like shame every single time I like went to hang out with friends.
And that's like very much centered to this, like that Romans 12 too. You know, you have conformed yourself to the patterns of this world, and the world says, how dare you not go fill in X, Y, you know, whatever those things you're describing. And so there, if you're a deadbeat, you know, or whatever the language was that you used, I'm just the guy who just stayed here. I never got out of Newbury Park, you know, whatever it is. It's like, that is very much conforming to the patterns of this world that leads to this like,
And a big part of that, I feel like, you know, classic phrase, like comparison is the thief of joy, but it totally is. And like, we have to ask ourselves, like, are we comparing ourselves to something good, which like the word of God, or are we comparing ourselves to like worldly view of success or love or fulfillment? And it's like, that's going to fall short every time. Those things you described are all good things, but it's like, I don't know, Connor and I both moved back home after going away. And I remember a feeling of that, of like, oh my gosh, like people are going to judge me because I didn't go off and do something crazy. I'm in ministry. Like I got this whole degree in a different, you know, area of work, but the purpose of God transcends all of that. It's like, what do we value as believers? It's like obedience to Christ. And if that's to stay where you are and to pour in exactly where you are, it's like, ah, that's the prize of our lives. But there's going to be a lot of noise and a lot of narratives around us even saying like, oh, that's not good enough, or you know, is that really your purpose in life? So with that, for you two, like, what has helped you kind of overcome those lies based in the Word of God, based in your experience with other believers? Like, what has changed your view of that so it doesn't feel like such a stronghold in your minds? And whoever is ready.
Sorry, no, I'm just thinking through. I think there's a lot of like avenues I could take that.
Yeah.
Because I think a big part of that is without a doubt going to be community. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of my biggest similar to what Ben was describing, like I'll just vaguely call it my prodigal son year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of just just living for whatever. Living for myself. The change to that was I was 19 years old and then I moved in with, so I was like I was going into my sophomore year of college and I moved in with there's five of us in this house and the five of them were seniors. And so I was like, they're all seniors. I was the sophomore and they all really love Jesus. And I kind of just asked them, I was like, hey guys, can I live with you? Like, you know, like I need help, you know, making decisions on Friday nights and Saturdays. Yeah. And I need you there with me. And so I think that's a big portion of it is God moving through his people as he often does. But also I think it's just the grace of God and like the Spirit moving in my life and bringing me back to, I think, what was taught when I was younger and remembering some of the things. And I know that's actually very similar to your story. I think about your sermon in middle school the other day, but
check it out, guys.
Yeah. Go check middle it out. YouTube. Calvary MSM YouTube page. YouTube. and so I think also like going to be some I'll just jump. Can I jump into the Bible?
Oh my gosh, yeah, please. How dare we have not opened the Bible yet?
May I? So I think my college pastor loved Saul. Yeah, I love it. Shout out Generations Church in Eugene. He just planted a church in Eugene.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
Oh my gosh.
Say it again. Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah. Let's go Ducks. Go to school up there.
Come on now. Or check out the good fight. Anyway, okay. Sorry. All right. So Isaiah 43. And you know what's funny is there's not much purpose language in here. It's going to be a lot of identity. And I think that leads, you know.
They're intertwined. Let's be honest. Intertwined. All these
and especially with what I was just like, I'm not enough is like an identity piece. Sorry. No, I'm. And my thoughts. All right, I'll read the Bible. So here we go. So I'll read seven verses and so to get some context. So Isaiah chapter 43, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. So obviously he's talking about Jacob and Israel, but as Christians grafted into the family of God. And so, I read these words as like words spoken over me when I'm in those depths. Yeah. And so when I think of like, this is what God says, and this is what he thinks, and this is what he says about us as his children.
Yeah.
So do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are, and I love this part, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you.
Yeah.
You know, you just think of this, like God says in his eyes and through his words, you are precious, honored, and loved. I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and here's kind of this purpose statement, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You know, it's like we are made by God. Yeah. We are honored and precious and loved in his sight. And we are created with this purpose of his glory. And so like that, I think, is a big piece of the like transforming. What's the word in Romans 12?
Transformed.
Sorry.
I was remember. Thinking of conformed
like,
too.
Yeah. I was like conformed by, to the conformed. Patterns of the world. Yeah. Transformed by the renewing of your mind happens through the Spirit of God working through his people, but also most commonly and most powerfully, I believe, through his word. And so like thinking about that, I think is some of the core like confrontation of those lies. Like you're not enough. God made you. You're precious and honored and loved in his sight. You're not enough. You were created for his glory. You know, thinking about like how you were describing kind of your past, or even as I think of my like prodigal son, whatever my years, it's like we can get so caught up in how we have lived and man, well, I didn't live for the purpose that God had for me. It's like, well, no, we move forward knowing that we were created for this. You know, like this is what God created for us, and it's not my happiness. It's not God even taking joy away from me. I think it's an honor. We find joy at our core when we live into this purpose God's given us of like, we were created for his glory and we can just move forward in that. So that's what comes to mind when I think of like confronting that. Isaiah 43 is going to be a big passage for me.
That's so
awesome. That's so good. Even that reminds me of just reading Romans 1 last night, the verse 16 and 17, the whole like from faith to faith section, but just kind of like even like re-understanding of just kind of like God's righteousness doesn't make me a good man, but it makes it so that God treats me as if I was never a sinner at all. Before that, it's just kind of like a thing of like
being clothed in his righteousness.
Exactly. And so like just having like that identity reshaped in a way of just kind of like that's the power of the gospel and the good news, is that it doesn't kind of cover our sins in a way of just kind of like we forget about it, or sorry, it makes it as if we had been whole the whole time. I was just kind of like, it, like your past does not matter to me. Like only who you are now and who I will form you or like continue to grow you to be.
Just like walking in step with the Spirit type thought. This language of like the partnership we have with God.
1,000%.
And I think, you know, we've said this, but it's like when you know your identity, then you can know your purpose. It's like, I think we have to start there. It's inevitable. It's, you know, what Tozer talks about of like the most important thing about you is what you think of when you think of God, and going to his word and being like, wait, these things are so interlaced. You can't have one without the other. And I think that sets us up for those moments that we start to doubt our purpose, to be like, no, I am dearly loved. Like I'm honored in the sight of God. Like I am no longer the unrighteous man or woman that I was. He sees me this way, so I can go and do the things that the Lord has called me to do. But I think the best way we can end is just kind of talk about like, what has life looked like kind of since you've been able to meditate in those truths? Like, how has that maybe shaped the way that you see your purpose? And you could maybe really practically, I know we're all in ministry and that can take, we could face a lot of opposition in that, even if it's just internal or spiritual when it comes to like living out what the Lord has called us to do. So maybe recently, how do you feel like life has been different since you've been combating those lies with the word and spirit of God?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm thinking through my life, like almost like timeline. Said, some of these lies I think through, like that's 19, that's 21. You know, and Sarah will resonate with this. When Sarah and I got hired in 2017, there's a pastor here named John King. He used to say that ministry has a way, I think I've told you this when you got hired.
That's a good word.
Is that ministry has a way of pulling out every insecurity you have and stomping all over it.
And it was 1,000% true.
It's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so true. And I think also like not just our context was vocational because it's our jobs, but like not just in vocational ministry, like when we seek to live into this purpose, like it everybody just draws out the insecurities, and that, that's what Satan is going to use to attack us and to get us down to our core, or to get us to believe lies about who we are. So when I think through I'll give an example and then I'll come to the conclusion I'm looking for. Within my context of middle school ministry, we work with a lot of students. And so sometimes there's just like little things that I need done. You know, it's like, I forgot that. You know, like the other day I was like preaching. I was like, I forgot my Bible. And so it's like I can like ask a kid in the front row, hey, can you go hand me a Bible? Like I'm only going to ask someone that I trust. You know, like I'm only going to like, listen, I love all our middle schoolers, but like, you know, and I mean, for all sorts of things, like the bigger a task is, the more responsible of a person I'm going to look towards as someone who has like, has a level of authority within, you know, whatever it is as an adult. And so like, you give God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. I hate that I just said that, but
sometimes he gives them to his silliest geese.
And definitely are.
Sorry. Okay. That's crazy. That's so funny.
Did you take away anything?
No.
Yeah.
We got two silly geese up here.
Goose okay. up.
Goose up.
Crap.
Right, okay.
sorry. Back up.
No. So this like God's going to give or like. We naturally give the biggest tasks to people we trust.
Yeah.
And so it's like, God is the one who made us. God is the one who knows everything about us. He knows the hairs on our head. And like, he doesn't give us a small purpose.
Right.
You know, like he's not like, oh, Connor, your role for today is like, you know, just survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your role is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. It's the greatest thing in this world. It's why Jesus went to the cross and rose from the grave, as we even think. Reflect on this past Easter Sunday. It's like, that's his purpose.
Yes.
And it's like, God's going to walk with you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's that joy of walking in step with the Spirit, this partnership with God and saying that it isn't just on who you are, but it's he created us. He knows us better than we do. You know, we're right now even wrestling through the lies we believe about ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows these things. And it's like, he's the one who gives us this purpose. Yeah. And so I think trying to walk into that and constantly trying to remind myself of that when I start to fall into those lies of like, I'm not enough. I'm not whatever it might be. I don't know if that answered your question.
I think
But I think somewhere close to it.
No, yeah. It was good. It was a good word for sure.
I feel like what you're speaking to is, and I kind of go back to this too, is like our baseline purpose, which is the biggest purpose we have in our life, is bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, I think of the Great Commission in seasons of life where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing or like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm like, no, my purpose has not changed. Like if you're alive and breathing and you know Jesus, like your purpose is to make him known.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many ways you can do that. And I think that's where we get caught up of like, well, is it through finance or is it through art? Is it through ministry? And it's like, yes. 100%.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's so funny.
You can do anything as long as it's like to the purpose and glory of God. And we have like clear commands of what our character looks like in that. But I love that because, like, I calm myself down through that dialogue, too. But what about you, Ben? What's that look like for you?
Yeah. I think now, especially not just that, like, I work at a church now and so, like, I found my purpose, but truly just having God reorient that kind of thing of just, like, I gave you a vision. I gave you, like, a calling on your life.
Yeah.
Like, forget about all the stuff that you did. Forget about your prodigal years. Like, forget about the mistakes or what you didn't build or what you didn't set up. Like I, like the classic, like Jeremiah 29:11, like I know the plans I have for you. Just kind of like this thing of just like, I know where you're headed to. I've given you kind of an idea of where that's going to be. All I need you to do is just kind of do the work day to day, like transform, like work towards that. You have a goal to work toward. I'll walk with you, but just kind of like, I'm going to reset that. I mean, Romans 8 was so huge in kind of like reformatting my brain for that. And even just kind of like now, like being a worship leader has been so fitting because like reading like the, you know, the being a living sacrifice, like that is your true worship of just kind of like, it's kind of the crux and like the, what kind of brought up about the language in a Westlake Worship song, Made to Worship, of just thing of just kind of like, I've seen the goodness of God. I've seen his glory in my life. I've seen what he can do. I've seen what he's redeemed.
Yeah.
Like I cannot help but give that glory back to him. Like that's what my calling is. That's what my purpose is. It's like to be a witness to the things that he's done.
Amen. I feel like we could talk forever. But for the sake of the episode, we're gonna have to wrap up. But I just want to thank you guys for sharing and being so vulnerable, because these things, though maybe hearing other people talk about, it's like, oh yeah, I think this is, it's tough to start, but so helpful and so freeing to talk with like people you love and trust, which you guys are people I love and trust. So I'm thankful that you guys went first and did this for our people. And my encouragement to those of you listening is find people you love and trust who know the word of God, who love Jesus, and start asking these questions. Yeah. Ask of yourself, ask of them, and know that it's a process. You might not have all the words in this moment, but it's worth bringing these lies to the light.